In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talks on transformation in Christ. Paul says in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Now that verb there is an imperative, isn't it? Set your heart. Set your mind. That's a deliberate choice. And God has created you and me with the power to choose. And we can choose to set our minds on Christ, or we can choose to set our minds on ourselves. Which do you think is likely to be your gateway to joy? Surely, it's when we set our minds on Christ and away from ourselves. Now, here's a sad letter from a woman who seems to have no sense of fulfillment. "I'm soon to be 47 years old and have never been married, although I can't remember a time in my life when it was not my fondest desire to be a wife, mother, and keeper at home. I suppose I've run the gamut of emotions that pertain to this most of the time, feeling like a child looking through the window of a locked candy store. Numerous times, I've tried to lay it on the altar, as so many recommend. However, I found that each time I did so, I was merely successful in repressing my desire, and eventually it would surface again. I have very fond memories of my grandmother. She brings to mind an irrepressible chuckle and unquenchable generosity, the smell of fresh linen and fried chicken, a balmy cross draft stirring through her house, fresh flowers, and the soft ticking of a pendulum clock." Sounds like a real writer to me, this lady. "She loved homemaking and was wonderful at it. Being of much the same temperament, I wanted to grow up and live as she did, being joyful in a well-kept home. I live now just a couple of blocks from her home and pass by on my way to work. In her yard is the remnant of a large cherry tree that was vigorous in my childhood. However, the portion that still stands continues to blossom and bear leaves. I'm so thankful that it's still there. It symbolizes my dream of being a keeper at home. But to this point, it remains a dream. Throughout my life, I have worked to earn a living and worked for the Lord. Nothing I've done has ever satisfied my heart or given me a sense of fulfillment. There's always the longing to make a home for a husband and family. However, because of a full-time job and my commitment to spend time with the Lord, my apartment is a mess. I've forgotten all the old recipes I used to cook. My financial record-keeping is sloppy at best. My flower bed is a chore. I have boxes of unfinished needlework, and I seem to have lost the sense of being a woman. Does my longing to be a homemaker keep me from finding fulfillment in other things? Why have I not found joy in serving the Lord? Will God give me a husband who wants me to be a homemaker? Is it wrong for me to want to look back at my life with a sense of fulfillment?" What would you say to the writer of that letter? Can I say, just be patient, God is going to give you a husband and fulfill all those longings to be a homemaker? Well, of course I can't say that. I have no authority to tell her that what God is going to do or not do. And of course, what she probably forgets is that she only has today. Are you going to put your life on hold, as it were, and sink into a pile of self-pity, let your house become a mess and your garden be overgrown, because God hasn't done what you're hoping that he's going to do sometime soon? This is the day that the Lord has made. What are you supposed to do with that? Rejoice and be glad in it. This lady said she had no sense of fulfillment. That's tragic, because I believe that right where she is, in that house, in that job, with that garden, in that mess that could be cleaned up probably in one evening, it is right there that God wants to transform her life, transform her desires. I don't mean to say that God will necessarily wipe out clean from her mind the thought of having a husband someday. He might do that, but he might not. But God is saying to you and me, do you love me? Will you trust me? Will you receive with both hands, thankfully, what I want to put there, rather than feeling that I'm cheating you from the best things in life? If marriage were a good thing for that woman before now, she would be married. God knows what's good for us. God wants to transform our lives, to make us into the image of Christ. Think of Christ's life here on earth. It wasn't easy. He never had a home to call his own. He never wrote a book. He never established a university. He was never the captain of an army. He had nowhere to lay his head. He had a seamless garment, apparently a very special kind of a garment, but it's the only one we're told about. And it's something that soldiers gambled over after they had killed him. But he walked and talked with his Heavenly Father. He thanked his Heavenly Father. And in the last moment of his life, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I would like to say to this lady, into God's hands commend your longings. Into God's hands the emptiness of your life. Into God's hands the mess in your home. And then ask God to give you grace to look for someone who needs you, and to pour out your life for that person. This is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we, in our turn, are to lay down our lives for each other. Verses 15 to 17 from Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I want to pause and put in a little parenthesis here about church music, Christian music. Note that there are three types mentioned in verse 16, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. My husband and I visit many churches where they sing only spiritual songs. There are very few churches, but there may be still some, that sing only psalms. And there are other churches that sing only hymns. Why not try all three? We are told to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and we are to teach and admonish one another with all wisdom as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. My life has been so greatly blessed by the learning of old hymns, which our parents made sure we learned. Then verse 23 in this same chapter, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. There's no need for someone to feel unfulfilled if they offer all of their work all of their play, all of their sufferings, all that they own, all that they have, all that they do, up to Him. It is the Lord Christ we're serving. I met a little lady who was cleaning the restroom. And I said to her, "And you're cleaning the restroom as you offer it up to Jesus, aren't you?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I do that every day." It is the Lord Christ you are serving, and that is going to be a transformation in your life. The gradual transformation of a life comes with the continual daily laying down of the self, a deliberate choice. Your will, Lord, not mine. When tempted to prescribe for myself, instead of receiving with gratitude what my Heavenly Father has appointed, let me remember the prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Instead of such a commitment leading to misery and loneliness, the ultimate result is the joy set before. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ endured a cross for the joy that was set before Him. There are many things in this life that are crosses for us. Usually a cross is some small duty which is distasteful to us. Are you willing to take up that small a cross? Or will you hold out for something dramatic and heroic that God wants you to do? We need to practice in the little things, and we may be amazed at the gradual transformation of our life when it is a continual, daily laying down of the self, a deliberate choice, your will, not mine. And then we're going to know the joy that was set before Jesus and is also set before you and me. May it be your gateway to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.